good to see you this morning. I do have, Pastor Ron, if you would, I do have some cards I need passed out. Ryan, would you help us too? Every person gets a card today. We're not going to do something right now, but I wanted to get them out first thing. Today is probably the strangest day. We cover material that's not familiar, and we cover the shortest period of time in the Old Testament. We cover just a very short period of time where some very big events happened that we don't really know how to put into context, and we know a few short little books that are out there. And so as they're passing this out, I want to let you do that. How many of y'all did not get to fill out one of these cards, an evaluation card, a feedback card yesterday? If you didn't get to fill one of these out, just lift your hand up, because most people got them. But if you didn't, I want you to have the opportunity. Anybody else? Anybody else not get a feedback card yesterday? All right, we're good? All right, thank you. All right, well, we have covered 32 of our 40 story points through the Old Testament live. And so we need to, before we jump into 8 new ones, we need to go ahead and we need to review, because we don't want to forget, right? Okay, so take this card that I just gave you, stick it in your book. Don't worry about it right now. I'll explain why, what you want to do with it just a little bit later. And so let's stand up and let's review. I actually had the opportunity this morning to teach the kids for about 20 minutes. Marilyn said, yesterday when I came in, Marilyn said, say yes. I said, to what? She said, just say yes. And she said, they cut my time this morning and I have 20 minutes and I want to see you teach this in 20 minutes. So I did. So, well, I've got 40 minutes. So you're sitting here going, okay, so we're only going to be here 20 minutes. Well, hopefully. No, I'm going to put it together. But here we go. Yesterday we ended with prophets speak. All right, let's just take some small steps. So let's go back to divided kingdom. So do it with me. Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Do you remember that one? All right, now let's go back. I did united, didn't I? I was just testing you. All right, so y'all caught it. Now, some of you caught it. So let's go back to United Kingdom. Okay. Is that good? If I'm going to use the right sign? All right, we start the last, yesterday we didn't start with United Kingdom, we started with Samuel, because there was the exception of Ruth and Samuel. Then we go to United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart. Then divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. All right, how are you feeling? All right, do it by yourselves. No, I'm just kidding. All right, now let's go back to Joshua. Here we go. You ready? Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart. Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. All right, y'all feeling good? All right, well, let's just go all the way back to the beginning. How's that sound? All right, you with me? All right, we'll speed it up a little bit. You know it pretty well. All right, here we go. Ready? Creation, fall, flood, nation. How'd you do? I can't believe I did that after kayaking yesterday. Okay, here we go. Let's go normal speed. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings, feast, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart. Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Give yourselves a hand. and have a seat. All right. Well, if you'll notice yesterday, we didn't look at a couple of books that would have made sense to look at. You remember, if we talk about Solomon, which book of the Old Testament are we going to find Solomon in? 1 Kings. All right, 1 Kings. If we talk about David, what two books are we going to find David in? Go ahead and commit. 1 Chronicles and 2 Samuel. I heard it from a few. And then where do we find Saul? First, not Kings. 1 Samuel, that's right. So we've said 1 Chronicle and 1 King and both Samuel. So that leaves two more books. And we did mostly Bad Kings and we did Prophets Speak, but we didn't do the books. And I didn't forget. But the reason I didn't do them is because the message of the prophets is fulfilled at the end of those books. Because by the end of those books, what happens is God starts working not through the kings, but he starts using some different nations. Now, you remember one of the prophets. God told him, I want you to go to a capital city, and I want you to preach to those people. And he said, you don't want me to go preach to those people. What prophet am I talking about? Jonah. God sent him to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was up here in the north. And Assyria, God gave them the opportunity to repent and be used by him, and he used them, and they came to Israel, the northern kingdom, and they applied their foreign policy. We know what foreign policy is. It's been something our nation's talked about a lot. Their foreign policy was if they conquered a people, they did not leave them intact as a nation, but they scattered them throughout their realm, and that way they could not rebel together. And so what we do is we say Israel, and just right up here in the north, scoop right up here in the north and say Israel, and just say scatter, because that's what they did. And Israel never recovered from that, because they scattered Israel, Israel was scattered all over of their realm. And then if they conquered a people over here, they scattered all those people. And if they conquered a people over here, they scattered all those people. And so there were foreigners scattered into Israel, as well as Israel scattered out of Israel. And who were the people who ended up living in Israel during the New Testament? Yeah, the Jews could not stand. And they were the Samaritans because they were intermarried races. And they weren't true Israel. And so that is the result of what happened there. So we scoop them up and say, Israel, scatter. Well, Assyria fell to another foreign power that was down here in the southeast. Remember, what town did God call Abraham out of? Ur. And Ur was in the area of the Chaldeans, which eventually became Babylonia. And Babylonia conquered Assyria, and they became the world power. And when they became the world power, the only country that was left in the promised land was Judah, the southern kingdom. Now, Babylonia had a different foreign policy. And their foreign policy wasn't to scatter you, but it was to bring you close so they could keep an eye on you. Now, they didn't take everybody, but they took the who's who. Anytime a country goes into a country and takes over, they remove the academics, they remove the aristocracy, the nobles, they remove the ruling class, the politics. They do that. And that's what they did to Judah. And so Nebuchadnezzar traveled all the way around, came to Judah, a year and a half siege to Jerusalem, finally. But they scooped up everybody who's who, and they carried them all the way back around to Babylonia where they could keep an eye on them. The way I teach kids this is I tell them, my mom used to do this when I was in church. I'd be sitting with my friends and I'd be cutting up and I could feel her eyes burning a hole in the back of my head. And I'd look at her and she'd go. And she'd come and sit me right down where she could keep an eye on me. Doesn't that make sense? I've done that a few times with my children. And that's what Babylonia did. So what we do is we call that exile, because they were exiled from their land to Babylonia. So we scoop up Judah, and we say, Judah, and we carry them to Babylonia, and we say, exile. All right? So we go, Judah, exile. So say, Israel, scatter, Judah, exile. You know, if... Now, Israel was scattered, so nobody was together. Maybe family units were, but for the most part, they weren't. But Judah was taken together. We know some of the characters who were taken to Judah. One of them, his name was a judge of God. Do y'all remember who he is? Daniel. That's right. Well, there's three others that I don't know their Hebrew names, but I know their Babylonian names. Y'all know who those three guys were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was another prophet who was taken to Babylonia. It starts with an E. Ezekiel. That's right. And so there were many people taken. But when you go with someone to a different place, you know how long you're there because you keep track. I mean, we've all been here together how long? 6 days? Yeah, 6 days. And we're all going to leave tomorrow. And if somebody says, how long were you at Maranatha? Well, I was there 7 days because I got here on Saturday and I left on Saturday. And we know that. Well, if they all were there, how long did they spend in exile? They spent 70 years in exile. One generation, one lifetime. 70 years. But Babylonia, okay, before I go forward, let me catch up. Now, all of that you find in what book? Anyone? Say it where we can hear it. 2 Kings. That's right, there's two kings. And what's the key word to the book of 2 Kings? Yeah, exile. He's on an island and the palm trees make an X. And so exile. Now, let me show you another one. What book is this? This is easy. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Now, what's the key word to the book of 2 Chronicles? Editorial on Judah. Now, there is a practical reason why there is not a Chronicles about Israel. And that is because remember when Jeroboam built those two calves and he told everybody to go worship God at those calves? Who would not stand for that? Who wrote the editorial? Whose view was the editorial? Remember Samuel wrote about David, but 1 Chronicles was whose view about David? The priest. The priestly view. And the editorial is the priest writing about the king. And so this is the editorial on Judah, and there's not an editorial in Israel, because when he said, worship God, those cat, the priest wouldn't stand for that. They couldn't. And it was like they all of a sudden disappeared, because why would they stay in a country? And so they did not keep track of the kings of Israel. Now, 1 Kings did, but we don't have it in an editorial. We don't have a priestly view of the kings of Israel. And so that brings us to that place. Now, today we've entered the section already, the captivity and the coming kingdom. But this really comes to a place where, okay, now they're in captivity. Now they're in Babylonia. Now what happens and what books tell us about that? Well, what happens is Babylonia is eventually defeated. Babylonia is eventually defeated by a country that's further to the east over here. Further to the east. And its name is Persia. What's Persia's modern day name? Iran. Iran is modern day Persia. Now, when Persia defeated, when they defeated Babylonia, what they did is they had a different foreign policy. And their different foreign policy is that you can live in your home. You're going to take better care of it, but you're accountable to us for how you live. And so they allowed people to return from exile. And we call that the returns. And the first return that they allowed was a priest named Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. And a priest cares about what? The temple. He cares about Jerusalem. He cares about the temple. And the temple was in ruins. And it was a disaster. And so he came back in to rebuild the temple. And so what we do is we say Zerubbabel temple. Make a little triangle above your head and say Zerubbabel temple. Zerubbabel temple. All right? And so that was the first thing that they came back to rebuild. All right, everybody stand up with me. And let's review this so far because we cover it really fast. And it's a very short period of time. So let's do Israel. Ready with me? Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Ah, did I do Judah return? I did not. You guys are looking at the book, aren't you? So this is the first return was Zerubbabel, but we're going to say Judah returned. So reach over here and grab Judah and say, Judah, return. All right? So do this with me. Let's do that again and get those three ready. All right, here we go. Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, return. All right, let's do that again and put Zerubbabel with it. Since I skipped Judah, we're going to do it one more time because I got to catch y'all up. All right, here we go. Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, returns. Zerubbabel, temple. All right, and so that brings us back into the promised land for the first time. Let's do it one more time. Here we go. Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, return. Zerubbabel, temple. Now turn and do that two times with your neighbors. All right, here we go together. Ready? Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, return. Zerubbabel, temple. All right, have a seat. Great job. Now, something happens in Persia. Something happens all the way over here in Persia. The king is offended by his wife and her actions. And so he puts her away. The wife of a king is called the queen. All right, y'all awake this morning? Got to keep going with me. And so he puts her away. He wants a new queen. Well, there are Jews living in his kingdom. And he has them do a search for a wife, looking at their beauty and all that. And he picks a woman named Esther. Her Hebrew name is Hadassah. And he picks her. Now, she has an uncle who's raised her named Mordecai. And so she becomes king, Mordecai, a queen, and so we say Esther, queen. Just like we crown the kings, we crown Esther. So we say Esther, queen. Do that with me, ready? Esther, queen. Now, Esther, when Esther becomes queen, they're living in exile because only one group has returned, and there were many that did not return, but her uncle was a man of faith, and he was a man of commitment, and he lived out his faith. And when Haman, the assistant to the king, when he would ride through, he wanted everybody to bow down, and Mordecai wouldn't bow. And so Haman wanted to punish Mordecai, and he got the king to sign an edict that in so many years they would annihilate the Jews. And now Esther's the queen, and Mordecai knows about this. And there's a lot of things that happen. Mordecai hangs out at the gate. He hears about a plot to kill the king, and he reports it, and the men are caught and punished, and his name is recorded in the books that he was the one who saved the king's life. But then he goes to Esther and he tells her, Esther, they're wanting to kill us. Don't think that you're going to be safe in the castle, in the palace. You're not going to be safe from this edict, from this order to execute all of us. And so while Haman is scheming to bring this about, he has a personal grudge against Mordecai. And Mordecai is encouraging Esther, and he's telling her, you need to think about this. And she sends word to him and says, you need to have everyone fast. And of course, pray. And she said she was going to have her maidens fast, and they were going to seek the Lord. Now here's the cool thing. I always look at books and see if there's a contrast. Remember, what was the summary of Judges? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and God spoke a lot, and God, he worked a lot in Judges. But in Esther, God doesn't speak. God's name is not found in the book, but here you find God's people doing what? Trusting God, honoring his word, living the life that he's called them to live. That's what they're doing. And they fast and they pray. And Esther gets a chance to, the king notices her. You don't barge in and say, I need to talk with you. She waited for him to invite her. He noticed that and he made that invitation. She asked to make a banquet to invite Haman. Haman thought, I'm blessed. The queen's invited me. And then one night after the first, the king said, I'll give up to half my kingdom to you. And she said, well, let me make another banquet for you. And that night after that, the king couldn't sleep. He read in the annals, and he read about a man named Mordecai who saved his life. And the next night, he comes to the banquet, and Esther has it made, and he looks at Haman. He says, what should I do for the man that the king wants to honor? And Haman's thinking, the king wants to honor me. And see, what had happened is Haman had so embittered towards Mordecai that he had had gallows built at his house to hang Mordecai. And Haman's thinking, the king wants to honor me. And so he says, put the king's robe on him, put him on the king's chariot, you know, let him go through and let the crowds honor him. And he says, call in the man Mordecai. And he finds out that Haman is plotting against. The queen says, why do you want to destroy my people? And all of this comes together. And Mordecai ends up, well, first Haman ends up being hanged. Mordecai ends up being honored. And actually Mordecai takes Haman's place. And God saves his people through a queen named Esther, who was willing to step out in faith and say, if I perish, I perish. Isn't that a great, doesn't that just stand in contrast to the time of the judges? That God's people, I want to be that person. That whether anybody knows, whether anybody sits, whether God gives me the answers, I'm going to trust the Lord. Isn't that good? And so we say, Esther, queen. That happened after Zerubbabel and before the next return. So we have Zerubbabel, let's do it. Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen. Well, the next return was a scribe. He was a man who studied God's word, and he returned to the land, and what he found was they were planning and making the move to rebuild the house, but the people were living in faithlessness. They were living in compromise. They weren't living by the word of God. And so he started calling the people out of their disobedience to trust the Lord and obey God's word, and so he wanted to restore the people, and his name was Ezra. And so we say, just take your hands and pat your shoulders and say, Ezra, people. Ezra, people. So we have Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people. All right, now let me show you. Now what book is this? Yep, he's using an S to stir the bowl. S, she is, Esther. Now what's the key word to the book of Esther? I thought I heard it. Somebody say it. Queen of Persia. Queen of Persia. That's the key word. She's the queen of Persia. It reminds you of what that story was. All right, look at this book right here. What book is this? Esra. That's right, Esra. Now, what's the key word to the book of Esra? Temple and people. That's it. So if you read Esra, you read about Zerubbabel, and you read about Esra. Now, in the middle is when Esther happened. After Zerubbabel, but before, but she's a book, it's another book outside of Esther. But that brings us up to that point. We have one more book of history that we talk about, and that was the king had now had a cupbearer. Now why? I never thought about this. Why did the king of Persia gain a cupbearer who was a Hebrew? It's speculation. But who had become the king's second-hand man after Esther trusted the Lord? Mordecai, a Hebrew. I thought, wow, God just worked to bring all of this about, to put people in place. And that's how it's not always, you know, getting the degree and do that. It's who you know sometimes. And I think that's it. And Nehemiah's job was to protect the king. He was his cupbearer. And he protected him from being poisoned. And so Nehemiah, when he thought of the city of Jerusalem, what he didn't see the temple that was being rebuilt. He didn't see the people they were being preached to, but what he saw was the walls of the city. Now listen to this. The walls of the city were actually part of the structure of the houses of the city. People's houses were in the walls. And so we're talking about the way people lived and where they lived and how they lived. And his heart was broken because people may be seeking the Lord, they may know, but their lives were still in rubble. And so he wanted those city walls because the city walls was where life happened. That's where people lived, and the gates were where justice happened. It's where commerce happened. It's where life happens. And so his heart was broken, and you never go into the king and demand anything, and you actually never go into the king and look sad. You don't bring the king down. And his countenance was fallen because of what? And one day, the king finally got an inkling and paid attention to him and saw it and said, Nehemiah, what's going on? And Nehemiah told him. He had prayed to the Lord. He had submitted this to God. And now the king had asked. And he told the king. And the king said, well, I'm going to give you permission to do this. But then he not only gave him permission, he gave him provision. He gave him the resources to do it. And then the last return was a man named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah came back to rebuild the walls. Now, everybody didn't want that to change. Some people liked the status quo. They liked the rubble. And there were people who opposed them. And so he actually had to, he would assign people to rebuild the wall by where they would live. Because you're going to care about your community. You're going to care about your neighborhood. You're going to care about your city. And that's what he did. And he had people, they had to have their tools and stuff, but they also had to have a sword. Because when the enemy comes against them, they had to be prepared. And so, but it took them, am I right in saying 50 days? 52 days to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so what you do is take your hands down by your knees and bring them up and say, Nehemiah walls. All right, do it with me, Ray. Nehemiah walls. All right, so say Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah walls. And that, and you know, I look at that, and one day I was just teaching this, and it hit me. Why didn't they do it in a different order? Why wasn't Nehemiah first? Or why wasn't Ezra first? Why was Zerubbabel first? What did the temple represent? It represented the place where God dwells. And God has to dwell among His people before their lives can change. God has to dwell in their lives before their lives will change. And what happens is, when God dwells into your life changes not because you all of a sudden become real successful, but because your actions change. And when your actions change, then it starts to impact our environment, doesn't it? It starts to impact the people in our families and the people in our neighborhoods and the people in our offices, in our classrooms, in our communities, in our cities. It's like He just gave us the prescription for transforming society. We can legislate all we want, but if hearts don't change, society's not going to change. We're just going to lock a lot more people up. Isn't that interesting? But if you change hearts, then lives begin to change, and behavior changes, and attitudes change, and worldviews change, and then culture changes. All of a sudden now, I'm not just praying for safety in our country, but I'm praying for rescue in our hearts. Lord, my neighbors need rescue in their hearts. They need Jesus. Isn't that something? And that's the path God took to restore the country of promise, the nation of promise to His people. And the one where He would start to prepare to bring His Son into the world. Now, did they get it right all the time? No. Did they get it right any of the time? Some of them. But eventually, they stopped listening to God. And when they stopped listening to God, God stopped sending these primary speakers, these prophets, to speak to them. Did God stop working? No. Did God stop preparing? No. But sometimes God works in spite of us rather than through us. And that's very sad. And all of a sudden, they come into a time period where they wait. They wait. Have you ever been there? I told the kids today, I said, have you ever been somewhere where your teacher's talking or your group leader's talking and all of a sudden they stop? And when they stop talking, what do? Everybody gets uncomfortable. Wait a minute, what's going on? And all of a sudden you get their attention. And God stopped. He stopped trying to force them, and He just waited. And He waited until they were ready for His Son to come into the world. And so what we do is we just take a step forward, or we lean forward, and we say, wait, Because they waited for 400 years. And like I said, God didn't stop working. God didn't stop preparing. But he stopped trying to push that first covenant to have that result that we all believe it should have. But what the law could not do, weak as it was, he was preparing for who could do it. Isn't that good? That's it. And so sometimes he'll just wait till he gets our attention, till there's a new hope, till there's a new way, and he's prepared it, and we get ready for it. And that's what he did. And then all of a sudden, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, and we make the sign of the cross with our arms, and we say, Christ. Because he broke the silence with an angel. He broke the silence with an angel announcing the preparation for his son. An angel to Zechariah, an angel to Mary, and then the news came. His son was coming into the world. And so do that with me. Just lean forward and say, wait. Christ. All right, stand up with me. Let's review that much right here. Let's start with Zerubbabel, and let's say Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah, walls, wait, Christ. All right, this is our last part. It's the least thing we review, so let's review it again. All right, let's go. Ready? Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah, walls, wait, Christ. All right, let's do it silently. All right, you got to think about it, don't you? Now do it without watching me. But we won't do it silently. Just close your eyes. You can talk, but don't watch me. All right, here we go. Ready? Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah, walls, wait, Christ. All right, now turn to do that two times with your neighbors. Oh. All right, before we sit down, let's go back to Israel. Here we go, ready? Israel, scatter, Judah, exile, Judah, return, Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people, Nehemiah, walls, wait, Christ. Give yourselves a hand and have a seat. Take your book out and turn to page 47 with me for just a minute. We're going to go all the way back and do the whole thing here in a minute, but I want to take just a little minute, give us a break, we'll review again. On page 47, there's something we call the 40-day challenge with God's grand story. And we've talked about that with the timeline, and I jumped ahead just a little bit. Look at this slide right here, and tell me which book we talked about last. Nehemiah. What's the keyword to the book of Nehemiah? Walls, you got it. That's it. Everything we talked about with Nehemiah came in there with walls. All right, okay, back to the book. This is what this card is for. What we find out is what we get to do is ignite a passion with God in God's Word, to read God's Word. And used to, we have five-hour events, and invariably, after the second session, which was an hour and 15 minutes, somebody'd walk up to me and say, I'm just ready to leave. And I was like, it's that bad? And they go, no, I understand something about my Bible now. I just want to go read it. And I'm like, well, just hold on with me and let's finish up. But that's our goal, is reading God's Word. I heard a religious leader say one time, they had done studies on people studying the Bible, and they found out if people read the Bible at least four times a week personally, that they experience life change. I told you before, I told my friend, he said, living the Christian life's easy. And I said, no, it's not. I said, basically, it comes down to if you read God's Word, He'll change your life, or you'll stop reading God's Word. And that's it. I can't explain it. Jesus has a parable. He says, a man goes out and sows a seed, and he goes to bed. When he gets up, it sprouts, and he does not know how, and it grows into a sack. He does not know how, and eventually there's a harvest, and he reaps a harvest. And he doesn't know how, but it happens. With God's Word, it's the same thing. When we read His Word, I don't know how He's going to do it in your life, but He'll do it. His Word always comes back with an effect, with an impact. It's never empty. And so what we do is we challenge people to read the Bible for the next 40 days. Now, down here, there's a website called 40dayswithggs.com. Now, we have a book called God's Grand Story, and you can get that from us. We have the Jesus in the Old Testament, which is part of that series. But this is not that. What this is you can go there, and there's a reading plan, and there's a reminder about what's in that part of the reading plan in the storyline, and you can read for the next 40 days. We have great tools to train people. We have great tools for people to engage God's Word, but there is no substitute for you reading the Bible. Remember what Phil said last night? People ask, how do you get this? I mean, what do you study? Which commentary? You read God's Word. I tell you, God prepared me for a walk through the Bible, and I didn't know it. I was a pastor. I'd never read consistently all the way through the Bible. And 3 years before I came to walk through the Bible, I started leading my church to do that. And then every Wednesday night, having a study on that reading. And God just transformed my thinking when I started looking at the whole thing all at once, rather than reading here and reading here and reading here and reading here. And it changed me as a pastor. And so this is it. That card that we gave you, that little card, it has a perforation. If you fold it, you can tear it. It has a place for you to write your name. And well, here's what I encourage you to do. You have a commitment to God. I tell you what, your commitment might be, I haven't committed to anything. That's a commitment. But invariably, if you love the Lord, you've heard something in the story, not something necessarily I've said, but something in the story that God's recalled, and He said, you need to do this. And that's a commitment that you need to make. And what I challenge you to do is write down that commitment on that card. And the reason you can tear the card is because you keep the commitment in your Bible. And when you read your Bible and you pray, you read that commitment and you say, God, help me to fulfill this commitment. God, teach me how to fulfill this commitment. And you do that. But what you do when you put your name on the other piece is you give that to somebody else and you say, I made a commitment. Would you ask me how I'm doing in fulfilling the commitment? And would you pray for me while I try to fulfill the commitment, while I trust God to work in me? And that way, you're not by yourself, but you have a partner. And two are better than one. And actually, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's the scripture. And so partner up with somebody to pray for you. You don't have to tell them the commitment if it's not appropriate or if it's not, you're not comfortable with that. But just tell them you made a commitment and ask them. That's yours. That don't give it to me. Don't give it to Gary. Don't give it to Phil. Give it to somebody else who you can partner up. Might be a spouse. Might be somebody back at home. And then you can tell them about what you experienced to walk through the Bible. If you'll look, I do want to show you something in the book. If you look in the book, go back to page, let me get past. We give you all the keywords to the Old Testament books around page 58. My arms are getting longer. You can see 58. And so we give you all the Old Testament keywords book, but then we talk about going deeper, and there is a picture of the God's Grand Storybook, and we give you the first week of the God's Grand Storybook. And so each day covers, and this is how they look. And so creation and fall, and then judgment and division, and then Abraham, and you can read through this and use this as you leave this place. It's a place to begin. There's also another publication that we have called Indeed, and it's a devotional magazine, and it gives you a week's worth of reading in there. So this, somebody said, now what do we do after we leave here? This is what you do. You get into God's Word. You get in with helps. You get in without helps. You just get in and you read it and you experience it because it's what's going to bring change into your life, and it never stops. I love what Phil asked like last night about when the change will stop, or what was it? I don't remember how you worded it. And we all answered, when we, you know, in heaven. When will the chiseling stop? Well, I don't expect it to stop. When I get to heaven, He's going to finish the masterpiece, but in this life, I don't care how old you get, you're going to keep changing, because that's the definition of repentance. Repentance is changing, changing your mind, changing the way you think, changing the way you live. Change, and that's what God's called us to, a life of change, a changed life, and He transforms us. And so these are great tools, okay? Have you heard enough about this? That's why we give you the book. It's a great deal. Let me take you to page 25. We didn't go through all these, but I just want to share this with you and let you see it. Page 25, we give you a little quiz. Y'all like quizzes? It's like, no, I'm not in school. I don't quiz. What's the key word of Judges? Anybody remember the key word of Judges? Conquerors. Got it up here. Joshua. You answered the question I was asking. I just said the wrong word. The key word to Joshua is conquerors. The key word to Judges is cycles. Y'all got it. Key word to Ruth? Love story. That's right. Where do you find Gideon? What book? Judges. Got one up here. Where do you find the great-grandmother of King David? Ruth. That's right. Where do you find the Battle of Jericho? Joshua. Where do you find Samson? Judges. Where do you find the woman in contrast to the judges? Ruth. Where do you find the new home for the 12 tribes? I heard it. Joshua up here. So you see what you remember already? But we also give you the answers at the bottom of the page. So you just turn it over and you find those. All right. You ready to review? We need to walk all the way through. All right, here we go. Let's stand up. Let's start with Israel and just review this last part before we go all the way back to the beginning. So here we go. Ready? Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, return. Zerubbabel, temple. Esther, queen. Ezra, people. Nehemiah, walls. Wait, Christ. All right, take a deep breath. I got to get a drink. All right, you ready? Okay, now, this is the end of OT Live. When we do this, this is the end. And you're thinking, but wait a minute, we haven't talked about the prophets. I can talk about the prophets in less than 5 minutes if you want me to. Do you want me to? Okay, if you don't, just leave.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit ministry.
I forgot that one. Yeah, that's why it's not part of the price of admission. We give it away for free because it's nonprofit. Okay, so we'll sit down. I'll do the prophets in 2-3 minutes, and then I'll have Gary come. No, stand up. We're going to review. I mean, we're going to say the whole thing, and then we'll sit down. All right, ready? Is everybody ready? All right, take a deep breath. Genesis. I was thinking the book. All right, see? I've gotten excited. I'm watching you. I got to pay attention. Okay, I got to shake it up. Creation. All right, here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings, feast, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings. Prophets speak. Israel, scatter. Judah, exile. Judah, return. Zerubbabel, temple. Esther, queen. Ezra, people. Nehemiah, walls. Wait, Christ. Give yourselves a hand. You did a great job. All right. Have a seat, and I'm going to show you this in just a few seconds. Take your book and turn to 48, I believe. 48. 48 is all 40 on one page. It's a great place to review. If you review 3 minutes every day for 90 days, you'll never forget it. Of course, you might forget that you forgot it, but you won't forget what you know. All right. All right, all right. I'm sorry. Okay, go to 40. It's ahead of it, isn't it? Yep, 43. Page 43 is a chart. And you think, well, how can I understand the prophets from this chart? What we do is we work our way backwards. You already have the answers, so you don't have to write all this. But we work our way backwards. After the exile, when did I say? After. Say after the exile. There are only three prophets. That's it. After the exile, there are only three prophets. How many prophets are there total? How many books? Do y'all remember? How many prophetic books are there? I told you I only had to remember two numbers. 5 and 17, and there are 17 books. And there are 17 spots right there, by the way. Okay, so after the exile, there are three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Haggai said, you live in paneled houses, get busy building the house of God. Zechariah said, one day this is going to be the house of the Messiah. And then Malachi said, you have hearts of stone. And that's when God stopped trying to get them to go there, and he just started working, all right? So that is after the exile. Now, during the exile, over here in Babylonia, there are two prophets. You can name them, the two books. Ezekiel and Daniel, that's right, Ezekiel and Daniel. So there are only three after, and there are two during. Everybody else is before. Does that make sense? So there, you already know the timeline of all the prophets. The three after, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, during Ezekiel and Daniel, everybody else is before. Now, Assyria, there are two prophets up here. We call them the Nanas, Jonah and Nahum. Nanas, and Jonah and Nahum both prophesied to Assyria. All right? Now, there's one prophet to Edom. Y'all know who Edom is? We didn't talk about Edom, but do you know who they are? They're the descendants of Esau. That's right. And they're over here. And Edom was a place where they did not help their brother Israel. And so God told them, Obad. The prophet is Obadiah. And so Jonah and Nahum were to Assyria. Obadiah was to Edom. And that leaves two prophets to Israel right here in the north. And they are Hosea and Amos. And then we have seven prophets to Judah. Now we have some overlap. We have some H's in the other places, and we have some deal. But if you'd work backwards, you know those seven, and we say H-I-J-J-M-Z-L. H-I-J-J-M-Z-L. And that's Habakkuk, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Micah, Zephaniah, and Lamentations. And I'll tell you something about Lamentations. Lamentations is an interesting book. You know how I said Joshua was about entering the promised land? And it correlates to us entering the promised life. And Judges is about us overcoming our flesh and sin in the promised land, right? Well, Lamentations is actually a book that reflects the result of a faithless life and the sorrow that it brings. It's an amazing study if you ever get to do it, because the sorrow that we struggle with when people live a faithless life is all about what Lamentations is about. It's a powerful study. So anyway, so three prophets after, who are they? Okay, during, there were two. Daniel, Assyria is Jonah and Nahum. Edom, Obadiah, Israel, and Judah before. H-I-J-J-M-Z-L. That's what I do. That's what you get it. So anyway, congratulations, you know the Old Testament. Brother Gary, come.